Mr. David Diaz from Preference Employment Solutions. Hey, David.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, isn't that the truth that you sometimes forget about all the different things that people do for a living out there?
Yes, there are so many ways to make an income these days in this very diversified economy.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that is for sure. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening here in our area. We've had this sort of slow recovery from the COVID cliff, if you will, back in March when kind of anything and everything sort of shut down. And then slowly but surely more things got open. And while there's been some fluctuation, I think it feels to us here as though the snowball continues to roll down the hill. Now, the snowball may not be very big yet. And it may not be rolling very fast down the hill, but it does seem as though we're getting a few more laps around the track under our belt here so that we can say, okay, this economy, at least it's functioning once again. Yes?
Yes. Yeah, I believe it's functioning. There's things going on. Is it still unique since last March, since COVID hit? Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. There's been some changes, as we all know. But there's certainly things going on, you know, nationwide. As I visit with my peers in the staffing recruiting industry, Most staffing recruiting firms in the United States are fairly busy right now.
Okay.
And that doesn't always hit the news, but there's jobs out there.
Yeah.
And locally as well.
Mm-hmm. Unemployment rate, I think I saw nationally, the last number was just a little under 8%, which sounds, you know, compared to where we've normally have been, you know, 4 or 5 nationally, 8 sounds like, oh, okay. But at one point, I think, you know, about 20% of Americans were out of a job, at least temporarily. So we've come a long way there. And I don't know, how long is it going to take for us to get back to where we were? Will that ever happen, David? What do you think?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And, you know, sorry for chuckling. These are unique times with what you're speaking on, Steve, the unemployment rate. What is happening right now in our country since COVID hit is we have some artificial structuring going on with our labor market. And so, you know, you turn on the national news and you hear what you just said. The national unemployment rate is 8, 9, whatever percent, somewhere in there. It varies state by state, but that's supposedly the national average. Well, there's a shortage of workers right now.
And yet the unemployment rate is 8, 9%, yeah.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is correct. And it's not just us that preference that are seeing it. There again, we're talking to peers and in the recruiting and staffing industry and in many states here recently again, and they're all experiencing the same thing. There's a shortage of talent. There's a shortage of good, you know, of just people available for work. And so, you know, we scratch our heads often days and sometimes with frustration as to, you know, what's going on. But that is what's going on. And those are decisions that our government has made. And so we, you know, we, like I think any other employer, are working hard to recruit good workers that that want to, you know, contribute.
What areas here in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area, are there a lot of jobs open where if you're looking for a job in those industries, you're going to be able to have some options out there? Where are there opportunities right now for workers?
Mm-hmm. It's more broad than it was earlier this year.
Okay.
You know, earlier this year, it was, you know, healthcare workers.
Yeah.
For a while, not initially, when after COVID hit, the hospitals got slow for a while there.
Yes.
For obvious reasons, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
For them. But that has changed some, you know, truck driving, manufacturing. There are still businesses that are open for business. And, you know, now where we are today, I don't know if it's just one or two or three specific areas.
Mm.
We're seeing demand at preference for a variety of positions. Management, leadership, sales.
Okay.
You know, labor, skilled labor to entry level, you know, labor positions. Just recently in the last week, we've had a real influx of job orders from clients that are hiring office type workers.
Okay.
Now, what's different about that from the years past is some of the positions, especially the office and customer service roles, their seats are, guess where? They're the employees' homes.
Oh, sure.
And so that's different. But we're seeing the acceptance of that, and we're also seeing that some people that are looking for work, not all, but some, they want that. They want to work from home, if not all the time, part-time.
Mm.
David, I see Mike Rowe all the time talking about the massive trade skills gap that we've had. Three million trade jobs they're estimating open right now.
Mm-hmm.
Trades, plumbing, heating, air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell someone that maybe isn't in quite there, maybe they're, you know, getting ready to finish school, high school, getting ready to look at a future, that's got to be a conversation you have quite a bit with a few people, I would imagine. And I would imagine there's a lot of those jobs right
now. Yeah, you know, that's a great thing to bring up. Yes, you know, in the last, I think, couple decades or more, some of those jobs have been overlooked by some.
Right.
Not only your I don't know, mid-age adult that, you know, not so sure I love my job, where I want to retire from it in another, you know.
Redefine myself,
yep. Do a different career path. But, you know, there are some people that are opening their eyes to some of these trades positions. And then also even, you know, younger people coming out of high school in that college age, you know, where they're thinking, gosh, you know, maybe I really would like to be an HVAC tech or a plumbing professional, an electrician. And the thing that is perhaps evolved today from the years past is most of those positions pay well.
Really good.
They do.
They pay really good.
I'm amazed.
Mm-hmm. They're making more money than, you know, a lot of your four-year college grads, the college graduates that go to work in an office. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just speaking in general terms.
Yep.
Yeah. But, you can make a really good living doing those types of roles. And we do those roles at Preference every day.
Yeah. And you don't need the four-year college degree. You don't need a doctorate or anything to do those.
You don't have the debt. Yeah.
You don't have the debt. Yeah.
You don't have the debt. So you're already ahead and still making maybe more money than if you would have gone for a four-year degree.
Yeah. Are you still seeing back when we talked to you a couple of months ago, I remember you saying, you know, when we have openings being called in, a company needs people, they'll say, we got a couple people here and there. Are you seeing any changes to that? Are companies now saying, hey, I need four or five or six or eight? Are we seeing more scale to those openings than maybe we were a couple months ago?
You know, we have just recently where, you know, since March, the world changed, right? And then you have businesses hiring one or two employees at a time. And that's great. That's good for our economy. It's good for everybody. You know, recently we have seen an uptick where there's some more volume needs where clients need 5 or 10 people or 10 or 20 like that. And so that's a really good sign for all of us in our economy that, you know, whenever you hear of employers that are starting to hire at more of a mass scale, that's just a good thing.
That is a good thing. October is Employee Ownership Month, and we've heard you talk before about your model over at Preference there, that you're 100% employee-owned. Tell us a little bit about that. What does it mean to be employee-owned, and can you explain that ESOP term we hear once in a while?
Yeah, you know, that's great. There's it's a good thing to talk about because there's some misunderstandings out there because there are not all that many ESOPs in the community or in America. And so what an ESOP stands for, it's an acronym for Employee Stock Ownership Plan. And so the model that we established at Preference about 10-ish years ago is to where we have an Employee Stock Ownership Plan trust essentially own the business. It's technically the one shareholder for Preference Employment Solutions. And within that ESOP trust, all or almost all of the employees that work in the business on a full-time basis can earn eligibility to be a beneficiary of that trust, essentially. And so it's a pretty good deal for everybody. You know, there is a one-year candidacy period.
Sure,
you know, your first year, we're gonna check you out a little
kick
bit.
Kick your tires, yeah.
But after that, and then you just work, you know, so many hours in a year, you're going to get stock. And then every year you work there, you're going to get more and more stock. Yeah, so it's really nice benefit for the employees because they don't have to pay for stock ownership, but they get a little every year.
Okay, so if the trust or the ESOP owns basically the company, then how do the people? I'll pick on you a little bit. How are you appointed then, and who is responsible for deciding if you're doing a good job as you lead the company?
Well, I guess I probably could use a boss someday, but maybe it won't be on your morning show anymore. You know, so the way an ESOP structure, they're very regulated, actually, which, you know, is okay because you don't want any abusive things going on with ESOP companies. That would just be a very horrible thing. Mm-hmm. So most ESOP companies have a board of directors. All ESOP companies have a trustee. And like for Preference, our trustee is an external trustee, which is a local institution called First International Bank. Mm. And so they have a trust department, and they're one of their main responsibilities as a fiduciary, which I am as well a fiduciary, but their job and role is to look out for the benefit of the employees. And so they want to make sure, you know, the stock price that is determined each year by the valuation firm is fair and reasonable, there again, for the benefit of the employees and on down the line like that.
Very interesting. So are there a lot of ESOPs in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo area? Is that a big thing around here?
You know, there aren't, but it's growing. You know, last my team counted, there's over 30-some in the Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo community. So we're making some progress. Gosh, it would be nice to see 100 someday because they're really good for the local economy. You know, nationwide, there's, last I heard, like 7,000 or 8,000 ESOPs. And so there's some out there. It would be nice if there were more because, there again, it's really good for our country and the economy because it gives more Americans a chance to own capital in their employer. It keeps jobs in our country versus being offshored, things like that.
Well, if there's 30 of them here and there's 7,000 or 8,000 nationally per capita, then we do pretty well in that area.
We do pretty well. And, you know, coast to coast, Texas to Dakotas, the Midwest has a little bit higher concentration of ESOPs than other states for some reason. So that's a beautiful thing.
Okay. How do you, how does that transition look like to convert to an employee-owned company? How do you go from maybe your typical structure where, you know, sole proprietorship or family-owned business, and then it goes to an employee-owned company? How's that look?
You know, there's a few things that are involved there. You know, there's the legal and technical aspects, and then there's the cultural aspects as well. And so, you know, an ESOP, starting an ESOP can be a really beautiful thing for maybe a business owner that is, you know, they're close to retirement. They'd like to sell their business, and instead of just finding somebody that wants to buy it, they might entertain just selling their business to all the employees. And so selling to an ESOP trust is a great way for a business owner to cash out and then have a hopefully a happy ending where, you know, all the employees can own it together. You know, and then another way that can happen is maybe somebody that owns a business and is not ready to retire, but they want to really different business model and something kind of cool, or maybe they sell a minority share of their business to all of the employees. So everyone can participate in working hard and growing that company together.
Yeah, interesting. The election, everybody's talking about that. It's certainly a hot topic right now. And you hear a lot about small businesses being addressed by party leaders. How do ESOPs fit into that mix?
Well, it is election season, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, thankfully, you know, it may not seem like there's much that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now that has bipartisan support. Well, ESOPs do. They're very, very well liked by both the Democratic Party and the Republican
Makes
Party.
Makes sense, yeah.
You know, there just isn't much bad to say about them. It's a deal where everybody wins and they turn out well. So, you know, the Democratic Party, they seem to favor ESOPs because it spreads the wealth. It shares, you know, it's a shared capitalistic business model. The Republicans really like them because it embraces the free enterprise economy, promotes the private sector, and I think that's why Ronald Reagan was a real promoter of ESOPs back in his day.
Okay. Yeah, and the Democrats like it because it decentralizes the control of the establishment, and we hear that message come out from them a lot. So maybe a little something for everybody there.
Yeah.
So considering the companies like yours being an employee-owned company, how do you think that specifically helps the business community? Why is that a good thing to have in the business community specifically?
Mm-hmm. You know, there's stats out there that show that most of the time, in general, people that work for ESOP companies have better benefits and better pay. I'm sure there's exceptions to that. Though, when you have that, it keeps it local, you know. It keeps the wealth local. It keeps the jobs local. So those are the two main benefits of ESOPs. In fact, you know, not too far from us, the state of Iowa, it wasn't too many years ago, I think in 2012, 2014, somewhere in there, Iowa's governor was really promoting ESOPs as a way to strengthen his state's economy.
Okay. So you hear that sometimes from the governors involved. Very interesting stuff. Yeah.
Same in Ohio, I heard about.
Ohio that. And Iowa. Okay, yeah. Very interesting. If people want to find out more about Preference and what you do there and all the different things that you can advise them on, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, you know, reach out. Our office is open. We're there all day, Monday through Friday. Our phone number is 293-6905. And if people have questions about, you know, ESOP, employee ownership, you know, how does it really work? If you want a confidential private conversation about this type of business model, you know, give me a shout. Or if you want to talk about human resources topics, hiring employees, things like that, that's what we do every day.
Yeah, well, you do it for your company. You see your clients doing it for theirs. So what I like to say about preference is you get the best of both worlds. You're running your own business, but you get to study how others do it, and you kind of get to glean all these best practices. And it's no surprise that you've got so many great ideas and perspectives when we visit with you each time. So great to see you again, David. Thanks for coming in.
Great to see you all. Keep up the good work over here.
Well, you do the same, sir. David D is president and CEO of Preference Employment Solutions. Find them online at preferenceemploymentsolutions.com.